Hi, this is Michael Senoff with Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. The title of this interview is called How to Craft Your USP, a step-by-step look at exactly what Richard does. Don't believe what a business owner tells you their USP is. He might be right, but if you don't take the time to do thorough research, the cost could be traumatic. Richard starts his research off with an opportunity analysis where he looks over, under, and in between the business's assets to find where the money is and where the USP begins. He calls customers, prospects, and past customers. He interviews staff members and watches all the presentations of the top salespeople, and then he checks out the competition, because if his USP isn't unique, then it's not a USP. And in Module 3 of USP Magic, you'll hear how he does it all and how he does it all fast. He says it pretty much comes down to asking the right questions, because you don't want your research to come back with, oh yeah, customers like your product. That's not a USP. But in this audio interview, you'll hear how to ask those right questions so you can uncover all the things you need to put the USP puzzle together. You'll also learn the steps in order that will simplify your research phase while making sure your USP is backed by the most thorough research possible. You'll learn an effective, okay, maybe even sneaky trick for making the kind of USPs that appeal directly to prospects and customers, because they use the keywords that mean the most to the audience. You'll hear why it's so important for everyone to be excited and on board about a USP, including having a website that shows the same excitement and how to do it. You'll learn guiding principles and questions to ask yourself throughout the research phase that will help you know if one of the benefits you're uncovering will work as your USP. You'll hear key strategies for researching the competition as a dummy buyer so you can know for sure no one else has your USP. You'll hear surprising benefits of the research phase. Believe it or not, it's going to save you a ton of time later on. You'll also hear a little story about how Richard found $1 million in profit for one company by turning what everyone else saw as a detriment into an opportunity. Richard says the most important thing to remember is that you're not dead if you get the USP wrong. In fact, the only way to know for sure if your USP is working is to test it. So don't be afraid of what the testing might come back with. Listen to the marketplace, be open-minded, and willing to go back to the drawing board if necessary. But in this audio interview, you'll hear all the steps you need to create a powerful USP the first time out. Now let's get going. Okay, welcome to Module 3. So, Richard, in Module 3, we're going to talk about how to craft your USP. What are essentially the steps for one to craft a USP for their business?
We've talked about the first step. The first step is to think differently about your marketing and look at your hidden marketing assets. See if you can find anything in those assets that might stand out. So let's talk about crafting a USP and how we would go about doing that. If a client comes to me and says, okay, Richard, we need a USP, we want a USP, then here's how we'll go about doing that for the client. The first thing that we'll do, and that we've gotten very good at, is we'll uncover and talk about all of the hidden marketing assets that the company has. So we'll conduct an asset-based evaluation, opportunity assessment, we might call it, where we see what opportunities might be there sitting in their marketing assets. Might be in the area of quality, it might be the area of performance, it might be the area of price, it might be the area of customer service, it might be the area of policies and procedures, it might be in the area of their current marketing processes, it might be in the area of their customers and who they have and who they are going after, it might be in the area of their relationships that they have, the expertise that they have, the staff capability. So that's the first thing that we do, is we want to make sure that we've uncovered all of the marketing assets that might be sitting in the business. Now, doing that opportunity analysis can be from anywhere. We've done it in a webinar. We've done it over the phone. We've done it in person. We've done it through emails and communications. So it doesn't matter where the client is. We can conduct this opportunity analysis enough such that we look at their websites. We look at their policies and procedures. We get a clear idea of their sales process. What is it that brings money into the business? And we're able to do that long distance, or we're able to do it face-to-face either way. And so that's the first step, is to make certain that we've done a thorough job in uncovering the marketing assets. If you miss that, you might miss the best USP that you could create. So anything short of a real thorough job, the cost could be dramatic. So once we know that those assets are out there, we begin to talk with the business owner. We begin to talk with key staff people, even parts of shipping and customer service people. And we begin to ask them if they think there might be money in those assets. Do we think there's opportunity in those assets? Are we overlooking some opportunities for more revenue from those assets? And we get the input from the owner and the staff. Probably the most important person in all of that discussion is the number one salesman in the company. The number one salesman in the company is out selling something, and it might be a USP that the rest of the company doesn't even know about. Here's an example of talking with an owner and staff and getting feedback and finding out where we might have opportunity for more money. Worked with an attorney that was out in the field doing seminars and workshops, and he would sell his product at the back of the room at the end of the workshop, and like they do now, they still do a lot of those today, and he would sell about 3 out of 10. Well, I asked the staff, I said, well, what happens to the other 7? See, that was the asset, was the other 7. They had never thought about the other 7.
What happened with them?
They would go home and didn't buy his product. They would leave the seminar and just go home. I said, well, why don't we call them the next day and offer them the product again? So we started to do that. And we hired 2 or 3 phone callers to come in and call all of those 7 prospects times the number of seminars he would do every week or month. And $1 million in new cash was found in 1 year from just doing that. So the importance of uncovering all of the assets not only begins to help us craft the USP, which is necessary and it's the first step in our system, but then other assets are coming available to us that become applicable later on in our system for the database assets or the alliance step or integrating the USP. Those other steps of the system. Now, I'll tell you one experience we had. A company that was manufacturing water pressure units for mines and oil fields, and it was good just cleaning equipment for these oil fields and platforms. Well, in our USP discovery with the assets, we determined that we could extend the warranty on those products by twice as much, from 10-year to a 20-year warranty. That was the USP, reliability. Because if an oil field is out in the middle of the ocean and it's an oil platform and they're cleaning it all up with this equipment and that equipment goes down, that's a big cost to the oil company. Well, they had 4 inside salespeople that were handling leads coming in on over the phone. All we did was then take that USP and train it with our salespeople, and the conversion rate of bids won went up 80%. A huge increase in revenue just from the USP. But you saw where it was important to get the USP integrated into the sales presentation. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been effective, which is step 2. So both are important. Getting the USP is very important, but then turning around and integrating it is very important as well.
And so what's important about that is that you learned it by questioning key staff and employees. That's where that asset was discovered, by the salespeople themselves.
Well, yeah, that's the first step. But then there's another step that you take in crafting a USP, is once you get the staff's input and the owner's input, you want to ask customers about the product or service in the company. So you'll do a survey of customers, and you might and should survey past customers that aren't any longer doing business with the company. You should survey present customers, and then you could even survey prospective customers who might be in the bid process or somewhere thinking about buying. And you want to survey and ask them why they buy from this company, or why they buy from a different company, or what is missing in their purchase decision that they would like to have satisfied. Is there a void? And so surveying customers becomes a very, very important part of crafting a USP. Sometimes what the staff and the owner said is different than what the customers are saying. And you kind of have a little challenge there. How do we square these two together? And so the customer input is very, very, very important. Let's go to the contractor business that increased profit 30% or more. Well, the owners and the staff, they knew they had a good product. They felt strong about its performance, but they didn't know what it really meant to the contractor. So we called the contractors who owned the product, and we said, how is the product doing for you? They said, fine. I said, what has it meant to your contractor business? Has it improved the profitability and revenue of the business? Oh, absolutely. How much has it done that? Oh, at least 25, 30% or more. Would you be willing to be a testimonial and say that? Oh, absolutely. See, now we have customer input that because of what they said and we asked. Now, you notice how important it was that we asked the right questions. See, when you're looking for a USP, if I just call a contractor and I ask him, how's the product doing? He'll say, it's fine. And then I go back and say, you got good customer service and they like your product. Well, that's not a USP. So I had to ask the customers the right questions. What did it do for your contracting business? What did it do for your pocketbook? And then I even had to ask them, did it increase your profit? Could you do more jobs with it? And when they heard those questions, they gave me the answers that led to a USP or helped to craft a USP. So that's why the surveying of customers is very important, because they'll give you language. They'll tell you things that you wouldn't have gotten from the owner and the staff. They might also alert you to problems that the owner and staff may not be aware of that could kill your USP, because you may not be as good as you think you are. And so those are examples of where the customer survey is very, very, very important. All right, so this USP work is continuing. We've uncovered assets as a way to begin crafting the USP. We've now talked with owners and staff as an important part of that. Getting their perspective is important, but do not believe that what the owner and staff says is the USP. You'll be making a big mistake, because it may or may not be there at all. And that's why you take the third step, which is talk to the customers, ask them why they buy, why they didn't buy, what is it that made them choose that company. And then the last component of crafting a USP is the competition. You've got to be really good at determining who the competition is. Are there three or four top competitors that are taking away sales from your company? Look at them. Find out. Look at their websites. Maybe order sales and promotional material from them. Talk to their salespeople as a dummy buyer that you're in disguise. And find out what the competition is selling. Do they have a USP? Do they have something that fights against yours or performs against yours better? What is the competition really doing? Is the competition another entity, or is it the buyer, the prospect, your competition? Maybe you really don't have any other companies that are competitors, but you're just not getting your story across to the prospect well enough, and they're beating you up, and they're not giving you the business. So that's why this last stage is the most important. Regardless of what the assets reveal, regardless of what the customers say, regardless of what the owner and staff says, if the competition is doing it, you have no USP. So the most important aspect of all of this is, what's the competition and what are they doing? Because you have to be unique. A key to the definition of USP is unique selling proposition. And if you're doing the same thing that a competitor is, then you're not unique.
I hope you're enjoying this session on USP. Listen, if you're short on time and would be open to the idea of having either Richard or one of his skilled marketing coaches help you craft your USP, email Richard at USPmagic.com. That's Richard at USPmagic.com. Or call area code 801-899-1505. That's area code 801-899-1505. Thanks for listening.
For example, lens crafters, glasses in about an hour. Well, right around the corner is 60-minute eyewear. Well, lens crafters continues to own that USP because they were first, and they got into the minds of the customers first, and they've communicated it better than 60-minute eyewear. And that's why you can still own a USP if you are communicating it first and we're out there first and we're out there better than the competition. The auto rental market is another good example. Hertz has always owned that number one position, and so Avis kept trying to compete and instead just crafted a USP, the best number two car rental company, and that became very successful for them. They kind of did what Target did with Walmart. They said, all of you who are going to go to Hertz, go ahead. But we're there for the number two person. We're going to be there right behind. We are the best one. So instead of going head-to-head with Hertz, they just came out in a different USP and have done very well with it.
Okay, so you're saying the competition survey is the most important out of all of these?
It really is, Michael. It really is, because I got to make sure that what came out of my other three areas is unique, and that the competition isn't doing it. As we've been out in the marketplace with our marketing system, clearly 9.5 out of 10 businesses do not have a USP. They've basically made a decision that I'll go ahead and spend the money I need to spend to try and win the game. And they spend themselves right out of business, because that's the alternative to a USP. A USP takes work. It's really asking the passion of the business owner, why did you get into business? I'll never forget an early experience I had. I went to a business and called on them about my system. And I asked them, I said, what gets you up for work every morning? Why do you come in here every day? He said, I don't know. I said, well, then I'd recommend that you get out of business. He said, okay. 2 days later, I called back on him and the doors were closed. He didn't want to go to the work of a USP. He didn't want to take his passion and turn it into a selling proposition. He didn't know what his passion was. He didn't know why he got into business. If you're going to win in today's world of business, you've got to take the time and make the effort to create a USP, unless you have the natural economy helping you enough that you're going to grow in spite of not having one, or you have enough money to spend your way to a brand. And good luck with that. So the alternative is a USP, and that's where we come in. We become, I guess, detectives in a way. We're going to do the hard work. We're going to look under the assets. We're going to look over the assets. We're going to look in between the assets. We're going to find where the money is in those assets and where the USP begins. Then we're going to do the work of calling customers and prospects and past customers to get their perspective. And then we're going to do the competition research. Then we're going to talk to the owner and the staff. We're going to do all of those things that are hard work but are required to craft the right kind of USP for your business. And if an owner will take the effort to do that and come up with a USP that matters to his customers, then he can win the game without spending more advertising dollars. And the key then is getting that USP, which we'll talk a little bit more about in the next module, and that's integrated into the marketing and sales processes of the business, and then integrated into the databases of the business, and then integrated into the alliances and relationships of the business, all of which are assets uncovered in the first step. And then you clearly will begin to win against the competition and take away market share. Because I will say this, Michael, that the natural economy, I think, is not going to reach the growth that it has in the past, 3.5%, 4% or more. I think we're going to be stuck at the 1.5% level for a long time. We may even begin to head back down. So how does a small business grow then? If people aren't spending more money naturally, if the natural economy is not going to grow like it has in the past, the growth is only going to come from taking away money from your competitor, taking away dollars that are fixed and are not growing and getting more of them from your competitor. Well, that's the role of a USP. And so lift up the sleeves and go to work and fight Walmart and fight China and fight all of the slow economy that's out there by crafting a good USP. Okay, after all of the work is done in getting the input and the data for a USP, there's some guiding principles then that need to help you in crafting the final USP. One is, can I quantify a benefit to the customer? And if there is one, how much is it and what is it? Can I make it very specific and overt, something very bold that's kind of over the top? A dramatic difference has been what it's referred to in my buyer's life that I can craft this USP. I know I can't just say I've got good quality, I've got good customer service. Those aren't USPs. We've given you good examples of USPs that fit this crafting, which is bold, significant, it's overt, and it matters to my customer. Now, the last thing is, can I do it? Can I fulfill this USP? Can I follow through on it? Can my shipping do it? Can my customer service department do it? Are they behind it? Are my salespeople going to go sell it? I would say of all of the crafting you can do, if you don't have a USP that the top salespeople are excited to sell, it will fail. So that's why they need to be involved as you're crafting this USP. Listen to the sales presentation of your top salespeople. Next to the competition and what you uncover in the competition are your top salespeople, whoever that is, if it's the owner or if it's inside or outside or if it's the website. Whatever the top-selling people are, or entities, or technology in your company, then the USP has to be in there, and they've got to be sold on it and excited about it. Or you have to communicate that excitement in a website if you're all online. So that's why all of the research comes down then to a few key words, and it's kind of copywriting, which is a great skill, and it's not easy for most business owners, which is why we've got 20 years of doing it and can do it quickly and find these things fast is because we've done it so long. But it's got to be done in a way that matters to the customers. And now, the other thing I would say is a USP doesn't need to be a make or break of a company. I mean, it may be that you throw a USP out there for a little while and it needs to change. And that's likely going to be the case, and it might need to change as quick as a year, or maybe sooner because it's not selling for some reason. So don't be afraid of that. Heavens, don't be afraid of testing a USP and finding out that it may not work and then going back to the drawing board. It doesn't have to be a make or break and you're out of business if you don't have the right USP. Be willing to be open-minded, to listen to the marketplace and all the research that you did. And maybe you missed it. Well, then go back and look at it again and see. So I don't want people to think that, oh, if I don't have the right USP right off the bat, I'm dead. No, you're better off than you were before, that's for sure. But you may have competition that comes and matches your USP all of a sudden. It could happen the next month. You have a competitor that's out there doing the same thing you did. Well, now you got to get another USP. So that's why crafting USPs and getting them out in the marketplace are the best thing for you and me, the consumer, because it makes every business better. Look what's happened with the pizza. Because Domino's came out with 30 minutes or it's free, we now can get a pizza in 5 minutes. It made everybody improve. It made everybody get faster. Glasses in about an hour. It made everybody better off. So good USPs will do that. It will improve the life of the customer sometimes in a very dramatic way. All right, so Module 3 summarized is the crafting of the USP. We've gone through the steps and the important points about that, finding the assets, doing the customer surveys, looking at the competition, talking to your top salespeople, owner, and staff, and crafting it in a way that matters to the customer, bold, overt, significant, dramatic, and just begin testing. Get it out into the marketplace. And the biggest, number one, test is your salespeople or your sales mechanism, whether it's a website and no people or whether it's inside salespeople or outside salespeople. Is it selling? Is it getting results? And that's why then this last module we want to talk about is the integration of the USPs. That's where you get it to salespeople and they get it delivered out into the field, or you get it to your website and get it out to the masses, to the public, or to other businesses. You get it on LinkedIn. You get it on social media. You get it in your direct mail. You get it in your email marketing. You get it in your inside sales on the phone. You just get it everywhere. That's integrating it.
This is the end of part 3. Please continue to part 4. I hope you're enjoying this session on USP. Listen, if you're short on time and would be open to the idea of having either Richard or one of his skilled marketing coaches help you craft your USP, email Richard at USPmagic.com. That's Richard at USPmagic.com. Or call area code 801-899-1505. That's area code 801-899-1505. 899-1505. Thanks for listening.